We live in a day where what's new trumps what's true. But I have found this week, as I was preparing for the message, I was reading a passage, Luke 24, which is where we'll be going shortly. How many times have I read that? Oh, golly, I don't know. But it felt like brand new. Every time I read through it, three or four times this week, I saw something I'd never seen before. So I'm real eager to share that. Some little thoughts, maybe they're profound for you. Hope they are. But before we go there, I'm hoping everybody here has one of these 50-day challenge leaflets. If you don't, please put up your hand, and ushers, get ready. I don't see where they are right now, but if you can hear me, ushers, we want everyone to have one of these, because I'm going to go through it and what it means, okay? So put up your hand if you don't mind, if you haven't got one, or you can get it on the way out, or you can choose not to take it, and that's fine. That's fine. You can miss a blessing for the next 50 days and not have your life transformed and your body healed and your family saved, but that's okay. It's your choice. No pressure. no guilt there. But this is something we hope to do as a church family. And let's open it up and look at it. 50 days between the cross and Pentecost. Now, we're letting it slip 1 week. We're shifting it one because we're starting the week after Easter. And we're going to mark the Pentecost Sunday the week after it is officially, because officially it's on the long weekend. And so we have a special guest, a friend of mine, Jeeva Sam, who was literally kicked out of his church as a man in his 50s because he was filled with the Spirit and started praying for the sick, and they didn't do that in that denomination. So after a couple of years, they asked him to leave, because for some reason, that was not to be done in church. But this man has incredible stories. He's a very humble, kind of humorous fellow. Bears no grudge. And he, like myself, you know, we don't want to talk about the church he left. We want to talk about what God's doing in his life. He explains miracles and healing and almost as good as anybody I've ever heard. And he's very strong and prophetic. He's a good friend of mine. And so he's agreed to come and be here on Sunday, May 26th. Okay? Look at somebody and say, Sunday, May 26th. Don't miss it. Okay? Get in our heads. Sunday, May 26th. In the morning and the evening. 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. So we're going to make room. And there's not room in one service for God to do everything he wants to do. So we're going to make room. And I'm thinking about it. We have a board meeting before then. I'm actually thinking about it. Maybe removing one more set of pews and putting a row of chairs so we still have the same amount. But then when there's times we want to pray, we could make more room. Just a thought. You can let me know what you think of that. But we want to physically make room for Jesus to do what he wants to do. We talked about overturning the tables in the temple leading up to Easter, and the idea that that was the same place where Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, where the people gathered. And Jesus was not only bringing judgment on those who were trying to make money off temple worship, he was also making space for what God is going to do next. And I want to make space for what God is going to do next. Are you with me on that one? Amen. And so historically, church people have engaged in extra disciplines during the Lenten season leading up to Easter. But really, we live on this side of the cross now. So why not do some extra disciplines while we're between the time where we've celebrated his resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? This is the great time for us as New Testament believers. So we have a slide up here. I'm calling it plus one and minus one. If you look inside this this leaflet here, your spiritual life plus one minus one equals more. How's that for good math? Plus one minus one equals more. And I don't want to lay burdens on you, but there's something dangerous about staying always in our comfort zone. You know the trouble with comfort zones? They're very comfortable. Did you get that? That's the trouble with a comfort zone. It gets really comfortable. And we all kind of find our place and then plateau. I have. I'm not there right now, but there's been times in my spiritual life where I notice I'm plateauing. Because maybe I'm over that addiction now, or my marriage is better now, or I got that job I've been praying for, or the operation went well, or God maybe healed that, took that away from me, and I'm no longer in this sense of panic or need or terrible urgency. And I come to prayer meeting and I do this, and we just kind of hit a level. My level may be here, yours may be here, but we hit this comfort level. And we level off, and we are in danger at that point of not growing. And what happens is today's anointing is yesterday's obedience. Now, I didn't mean to preach this, but I'm going to preach for a moment here. Jesus purchased your salvation, but you purchased your anointing. Now, do you know what I mean by that? The personal sacrifice that you make determines the amount of presence that you carry day by day. Jesus is in you. We're not talking salvation, but we're talking about what's on you for others, what you're able to do, how well you can hear the voice of the Lord, the kind of faith you have to pray for others, the kind of just presence and poise you carry that makes other people say, hey, tell me about your faith. I see something different. That you determine. You can have as much of his presence as you are willing to jealously guard. So we have to make an effort. And what happens is we get to the place and we plateau. It's getting pretty quiet in here because that's what's called amen, but I feel a little convicted. Okay. So all I'm trying to do here is say, let's make some small changes, because the small changes usually are the ones we keep. You know, anybody ever tried to go on a diet? You don't have to put up your hand. I'm going to go on 700 calories a day, and I'm going to run 5K, and I'm not going to do this, and it's going to last 4 days. And then I'm going to go have a meal and eat a liter of ice cream in the backyard after dark. You know, been there, done that, okay? Me and ice cream have a love-hate relationship. But those aren't the kind of changes that stick. The kind of changes that stick are, you know, it's what we're asking here. I think I'm going to spend 10 minutes a week with a prayer partner. So I'm asking you to add something. I'm asking everybody to get a prayer partner for 50 days. And FaceTime or face-to-face time, a phone call or a house call, whatever it might be, you're just going to go there and you're going to with them, and you're just going to pray. And you're going to do this. If you say yes to this, share one need, share a God moment this past week, pray one need, pray for each other, pray for our next senior pastor and the search, pray for the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't turn it into an all-night prayer meeting, or you won't have a prayer partner next week. Just find somebody and just come into agreement. It's the amount of faith, not the amount of time. Do you hear me? It's the amount of faith in your prayer, not the amount of time. I'd rather have a prayer meeting that lasts 20 minutes with five people that know how to pray and speak the word of God into the situation than an all-night prayer meeting where people are just praying the problem. And I thank God there's a lot of people here that know how to pray. I love praying with you. And that's another thing. Add one more church-related event. Maybe try out Wednesdays. You can do that online even, or Fridays, if you're in young adult zone. Women's prayer via Zoom, 10 a.m. on Tuesdays. Attend Ignite on Friday, April 26th. Is that the right night? 26? Did we get that? Is that the right one? Yeah, okay. That's the Ignite prayer meeting during our 50 days. Join pre-service prayer. I'm just asking you, consider, between 9:15 and 9:45, come and join us downstairs. What room is that called down there? Is that the young adult? Pardon me? Yeah, the young adults room. Come and join us for a few minutes. I'm busy before service. Maybe you are too. But I go down there every Sunday and have a few minutes of believing prayer with these dear friends, sisters, and brothers that are down there praying. Come down for a few minutes. Noon hour, guided prayer. We're going to have Wednesdays and Thursdays. It'll be 45 minutes from noon. And we're going to put a little bit of structure on it. So it's not just one or two people praying. We'll share that time. If you live close by and it's not pouring rain like it was last Wednesday, come and join us. Then the one other thing you could add is meet one person that's new to you. Okay? Or that one person you've been avoiding for 6 weeks because you had a great talk and now you forget their name and you're too embarrassed to admit it. And I've had three people tell me that today when I've looked at their name tags and go, "You don't know my name yet?" And the answer is no. I need name tags because I'm only here on Sundays and Wednesdays. So I'm trying to do better on that, and I'll see what I can do. Remember, there's one of me and there's a whole bunch of you. So if you remember my name and I'm struggling with yours. But that's why we're doing name tag Sundays, and we'll do this more than one Sunday. Find one person, and who knows, maybe that'll be your prayer partner. Maybe it'll just be great to meet someone. Then, that's the plus one. The minus one. I know I'm taking a long time in this. I want you to think it through. The minus one on the right page there. How about removing one distraction? A partial or total social media fast. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitch, news fast, sports events. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is many years ago, but I used to listen to 590 The Fan, the sports talk, okay? Remember when people would drive and you'd put on the radio, the AM radio? And you have to learn that, you know, it's more commercials than radio, so I'd know when to turn it down, when to turn it on. But I used to listen to The Fan, and I realized one day I was listening to Bob McCowan more than I was listening to Jesus some days, and that had to stop. And so I just said, that time, that drive time, I'm going to play a CD. How long ago was this? And now, of course, I got Spotify going, and I podcast. There's amazing podcasts out there, and it just fills the drive time. And when I'm not here with you, like this week, I had to drive about 7-8 hours round trip to do some ministry, and I'm telling you, I had phone calls or podcasts going the whole time. We're either fellowshipping with people in the Lord, or I was getting fed spiritually. So this is what I'm talking about, just tweaking our habits, tweaking them, adding a little, subtracting a little, and you'll be amazed how much a little step, how big a change it can make. Here's my slogan, small steps bring big change. Small steps can make big change, and that's going to be in the message. Now, the last one is engage in a food fast, which is also subtracting. And possibilities include one meal per day, abstain from sugar or caffeine, or both for short periods. Again, if you have any medical condition or if you're a senior, you be careful about fasting. Sometimes people get dizzy and fall, and you just make sure your health situation matches, and if there's any question at all, see a physician. We did twice in my ministry when I was a full-time pastor. We did 40-day fasts. I mentioned this to you before, and the first time I actually went, yes, I did. Took a few days to get in, a couple days to get out because you have to transition. I went to no food for over 30 days. You can do it. Even it can be done if you're healthy. I wouldn't do it that now. I wouldn't do that today. But I did that in my 40s at a time when I was more healthy. And it is true that after 4 or 5 days of no food, your body stops asking. And you go into this kind of zone where my mind was clear, I slept less, I focused better. Then somewhere around 20 days, that started to break down. My body's like, enough, enough. Come on, eat. But it's amazing what that did for us in our church. every time we went into a fast together at our church, we had miracles happen. And because there is, and why is that? Was God waiting, saying, I won't heal you of your sickness until you fast for 4 days? No, that's legalism. No, what it is, it's, as David says in Psalm 35:13, I humbled my soul through fasting. What it is, it's focus. It's taking away the distractions. And the way some of us eat, you know, we're on a blood sugar roller coaster. And to be able to have your energy level and to that's even and to be able to focus. So whatever works for you, maybe it's, you know, one meal twice a week where you just say, instead of eating, I'm just gonna read a chapter from the Psalms and pray. Anything. It's a step. It's a change. It's a shift. And it changes your focus, and it impacts the other times of your life. So I'm asking you, there's something I want you to not do, okay? Take note of that. During this time, there's something I want you to not do, and that's nothing. Please don't do nothing. Did you get the double negative? I'm saying please do something. So I don't think this is putting any kind of religious burden on anyone, but I'm calling you as our church family, let's add something, let's subtract something, and let's watch there become more room in our soul for the presence of God, because we are heading into the best days ever. That's a good place to say amen. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 24. You ready for the word? Okay, we're going to get some word here. Luke 24. Just before we get in there, verse 13, we're going to read eventually to the end of the chapter. I thought I was actually searching something out for this message, and up on my feed on the search results came this thing about TikTok challenge. And I don't do TikTok, and I just talked about maybe letting go of that, but I understood it's for people who can dance. So no wonder I don't look at it. But there's the latest thing on TikTok. The TikTok challenge is the 14-mile walk. Wow. So I had to look into that. So some TikTokers have discovered something new that nobody's ever done before. Go for long walks. This generation, they just keep coming up with these amazing things. And one of them said, I call it a hike. Oh, that's amazing. I was part of the scout troop that was the first to hike the whole Bruce Trail, so I do know a little bit about hiking, but I'm glad to see that some people are discovering going for a walk. But it was the 14-mile thing that got me, because the passage I'm going to tell you about today is actually a 14-mile walk. So I want to tell you about another 14-mile hike. They didn't have TikTok, but they knew how to walk. There's a rhyme there somewhere if you want to do it. I'm not going to try. But let's find out what happened on a 14-mile walk that changed these people's lives forever and maybe changed history. Here we go. Verse 13, on the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Pardon me, full stop. I forgot. The other thing you're supposed to do is get one of these wristbands. Who got a wristband on the way in? It says, pray first. See, when you forget, just do this. I forgot to pray today. Ah, okay. Little slap on the wrist there, right? And then you look at it. It says, Ephesians 6:18, that says, pray at all times with all kinds of prayer. Okay? So there's different sizes. They're for you. And if you get this band, you're saying, I'm going to do something in the next 50 days. And we got it in a color that you can't ignore. I'm sorry if it doesn't match your outfit today. Too bad. It's there to remind you so you don't forget about it, okay? All right, let's go back to the word. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. This is the same day that Jesus rose from the dead, the third day after his death. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? Do you not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they're going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" Let's stop there. If I'm going to put a title on this today, it's Burning Hearts. Burning Hearts. Hearts burning. Now, Jesus is really playing it coy here, isn't he? "Hey, guys, what are you talking about?" Yeah, and pretended he was going to go further. What was he doing there? Jesus was testing their hearts. He was testing them to see if they wanted to take it just a little further. Do you want to go a little bit beyond what's normal? See, what was normal in those days is you walked most places, and when you walked, there'd be other people. It's not like when you're on the 401 going to London, and that person is annoying you because they're doing the same speed at cruise control. So you just take it up 5 kilometers and get around them, and then they decide the same to you, and then they try to get around you, and the next thing you know, you're in an emotional conflict with somebody you never met. Where am I going with this? Anyways, it's never happened to me. Just saying, in case it ever happened to you. I'm sorry, Lord. And but it's not like you're in a car and you have this kind of insulation from each other. When you're walking and there's somebody walking the same speed and there's one path, you basically have to talk to strangers. So it's pretty normal just to come up to people and start talking with them as you're going, because they didn't even have the radio back then. So he's like, "What are you talking about?" And they tell him, and obviously they were highly emotional, because life was not going the way they had planned. And there's that song, it might have been John Lennon who coined the phrase first, I can't remember, but life is something that happens while you're planning something else. And that describes life if you're over 30. It's something that happens while you're planning something else. And what do you do with that? Well, they had been so sorely disappointed to have your hopes up and then crash. You'd rather not have your hopes been up at all, because it's just like, you know, you expected something and now it's not there. I thought I was healed and it came back. I thought they were going to be my friend. Now they're gone. Whatever it is. But they had a big one, and they were disappointed. And so what was Jesus doing? Jesus wanted to know if they'd go the extra mile, I'll say. They ended up going an extra 7. And we'll show you that in a few moments. He wanted to know how much they wanted to know. And so Jesus is asking us first, just like he was asking these disciples. Verse 17, what are you talking about today? What are you discussing with the people that you're hanging out with? What's on your lips? What do you talk about? I know Christians that I've known for a long time professionally. I have never yet heard them say to me, you know, I was praying yesterday and I felt the Lord say this. Or I was reading the Bible and I saw something. I have Christian friends that I've known for decades who never once initiated a talk about Jesus with me. They get more excited about the new features on their latest car purchase. And I'll hear about it for 10 minutes and I'll think, yippee. Now you can parallel park. Yippee. I want to know how your soul's doing. Now, I like sports. I'll talk to you about NFL. Yeah. And I won't talk to you about the Maple Leafs because I like sports. No, sorry. No, sorry. No, I like sports. Hey, I have rights to talk that way. I was at one of the games the last time they won the cup. Yep. My dad had season tickets. I was 10 years old. Like, this is like, it was about the time of Confederation. And, but I'll talk to you about sports. I like sports. But I'm also going to tell you what's happening in my heart. You know, because it's the best. It's the greatest thing. And I'm so thankful that at this point in my life, I have 3 adult kids who will do the same thing. Dad, I was praying for you last week and I felt the Lord had something for you. Doesn't get any better than that. And I'm not trying to put guilt in anybody's heart that has children that aren't serving the Lord. But I'll tell you this, if you got little kids, you know how to give the best chance that you'll have adult kids like that is be like that when they're little. Tell them what God said to you. Show them. Live it out. Let them see a testimony. One day in high school, somebody was challenging our son about God. He says, how do you know if God exists? He told me this later. I found this really funny. He just turned to him and he says, if there wasn't a God, my parents couldn't eat. I'm like, what did you mean by that? He says, Dad, well, you quit being a pastor. Now you're living by faith. We've seen God provide all this time. Like, you wouldn't even have food if God wasn't real. I said, oh, that's what you mean. Okay. But see, that was in his heart. He didn't kind of express it well, but that was in his heart because he had seen faith lived out at home. And I know some of us are spiritually single here, and there's a battle at home, and children are getting mixed messages. I understand that. But they can still see the patience that you deal with that. They can still watch your character as you deal with whatever life throws at you. And one day they're going to say, I want to be like that. It'll come around. Trust me, it'll come around. Not if you battle all day fighting, but just you be that person. And they see God answering your prayers. Seeing an answered prayer is powerful. So Jesus asked them first, what are you talking about? Well, we're talking about Jesus. Haven't you heard about Jesus? Imagine how Jesus felt at that moment. He must have been suppressing a grin big time. Oh, I can't wait till we break bread. This is going to be so fun. I can't wait to see their faces. But what he was doing is testing their heart. Do you know that every promise of God in your life has to be tested? It has to be tested. Jesus preached his first sermon, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. Yeah, hallelujah. Isaiah 61 is all in your life, and the broken and the healing and the blind will see, and the prisoners. And guess what happened? They kicked him out of town, tried to push him off a steep hill, and then the Spirit leads him to be tempted. Leads him into a place where he was tempted. And the devil tried to take him off the rails. Every time you think God has spoken to you, or every time you get excited or you come to the altar and, oh, that's dealt with now. Praise the Lord. It's going to be better. Guess what? Everything, every blessing will be tested in your life. It's just the way it goes. And when you pass the test, then huge breakthroughs come. Watch out, because the devil's going to try to tell you, see, it doesn't matter that you went to the front, you feel just as bad this week. Or yeah, no, you blew it, you got angry there, now everything you had, see, all this trouble's come because God doesn't approve of you. No, 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 no. Jesus preached a great sermon, the first one, they'd been waiting centuries, and they tried to kick him out of town, and the next thing you know, the devil's all over him, trying to get him to turn away from God's will. So if that's how it worked in Jesus' life, I'm not really one to expect much better. Every word has to be tested. And so they were in a huge test. Will they still believe? But earlier, Phil, and God bless you, Phil, I've thought of that many times. How would we be if Jesus walked in here in the flesh? Well, that's interesting, because a lot of people that met him in the flesh, of course, we're believers and we love him and we've been filled with his Spirit, so there'd be a huge expectation. But Jesus showing up in the flesh isn't the best thing that can happen for everybody, because the first thing he does is he doesn't say, well, it's me, proof, hello, I'm risen from the dead. He doesn't do that. The first thing he does is take them into the Scriptures to dig deeper than they've ever dug before. I thought, this is amazing. And starting with Moses and all the prophets, it says, that was in verse 25, he starts to show them that this really was talking about me. Remember when Moses raised that pole with the snake on it and everybody was healed if they looked to it? That's a prophetic symbol of the enemy bringing sickness. But when I'm lifted up, people come to me. That was actually a picture of the cross where Satan put me to death, but God had a plan to raise me up, and now I'm here. And he wouldn't say me, he would have said the Christ. And so the thing they needed most when they were most discouraged and disappointed was for the Holy Spirit to open up the Word of God and see the truth about what's going on. And sometimes I hear people say, oh, I'm struggling, I just need a break from church. No, you need to go there and hear the Word again. And then you hear the Word and you come out and you say, nothing's changed, but I feel okay. I think it's going to be okay this week. Anybody ever had that? You come in not feeling great. You hear the Word. You're in the presence. You go out. Nothing's really changed about your life out there. But you go out and you feel like it's going to work. Seriously, anybody ever had that? I've had that. You come into church. And so the first thing we need is dig a little deeper. And that's part of the plus one, minus one idea, is go a little deeper. And online there's going to be some scriptures you can read every day. Just take the Psalms and just start reading. Don't try to read the whole Bible or even a whole book. Don't turn it into another to-do task. Turn it into a time with Jesus, where you just say, I'm going to start here in the Psalms. It's a great prayer book. And I'm just going to read until something hits me, and then I'm going to pray it. David prayed it. That was his prayer journal. Now we call it scripture. So go read this teenager's prayer journal and maybe it'll help you. It's called the Book of Psalms. Let's get into the Word. Are you with me? Just do a little bit more. Maybe listen to a podcast if you never have. Or just a little more. And then once he did that, what did they do? Here's the key. Jesus acted as if he was going to go further. And it's already getting evening. So in that part of the world, you know, the latest sunset, even in the summer, would be 7 p.m. So we're talking early evening. And he's going to go on. And there's the test. When Jesus shows up, i.e. the Holy Spirit blesses you, we have a good service, we go out, we get a wristband, and we go, wow, that was good today. Yeah, I really liked the worship. Yeah, Phil did a good job. Yeah, and then the whole thing and presence, yeah, it was good. Where are you going for lunch? And that's okay. It's a great question. But if you just leave it parked here, you miss the more. There's always a more. Do you know that every time God speaks to you, it's meant to be the opening line of an ongoing conversation? I've had people say, God spoke to me. That's amazing. And sometimes I picture it like people sitting in a boat offshore and Jesus standing on the shore saying, your boat is leaking. And they're going, oh, it's Jesus. He spoke to me. Yeah, no, he spoke to me. No, he spoke to me. Oh, Jesus spoke to us. And away they go. Yeah, but what did he say? There's something to do about it. Not just say, God spoke to me. There's an action. There's a response. And so here's what I'm getting at. Is if they had let him go on, say, you know, it's tired. We've walked 7 miles. We're emotionally spent today. They were spent. This is the day that he disappeared from a tomb. The mental drain, the anguish, the agony, this is not the time for visitors. You know, I don't have anything in the house. You know how, you know what goes through in our modern minds, what we would say. Picture having a really emotionally wrought day, and you've met somebody at the store who walks home with you, and then, like, you're going to say, come on in, you know, let him go, I need my space, I need my time. And what they did was they said, this man, whoever he is, just opened up the Word of God like we've never seen before. I think we need to first honor him, because in those days, you did honor travelers if you had a place to stay. Secondly, I think we should hear more. Let's get a good rest. Let's get up in the morning rested, and we'll hear some more. I'm sure that's what they were saying as they went in, thinking that we're done for the day. And then by just saying, let's do a little more, in he comes, and the breaking of bread. Oh, this is so good. It's in the sharing that Jesus shows up. I mean, we're talking a metaphor here now. We need small group experiences. We need to gather with people and say, okay, we'll meet at Hortons, Tim Hortons, Saturday at 10 o'clock, and we're just gonna open up. We're going to go through this book a chapter at a time. We're just going to talk about that for 45 minutes, and then away you go for the day or something. But when we're intentional to get together with a few people to talk about the things of the Lord and where we're at in a safe place, Jesus shows up. And we experience his presence in that setting like we can't anywhere else. I truly believe there's aspects of our spiritual life must include our own personal alone time, our prayer closet, our personal worship, because you and Jesus have to do business together. I believe the corporate worship, there's nothing that can replace that. But I also believe in the transformation that happens when we get into small groups. And if you can have all three of those somewhere in your life, then you are on a track where you will grow. You will change. And I'm not always in a small group in my life because I'm ministering in multiple places. I get that experience in different ways without even having to set that course. But every once in a while, my wife and I will join a small group at our church, or we will gather some people in our home just because we need that. This, what I'm doing here today, is not enough. Even though I've studied this week and I'm preaching the Word and I learned some things, I need to be face-to-face as well. And so let's start with prayer partners. Let's start by 10 minutes a week just to go through these prayer requests. But it says that their eyes were open and they recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. Oh, darn. But they said, we're not, our hearts burning. We've never had an experience like this. So they went to bed, got a good rest, got up and ate a full breakfast, because breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And then they grabbed an Uber and went back to Jerusalem. Just sensible guys, these guys. No, what does it say? Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. It's verse 33. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now imagine this here. They got up and returned. How many miles? 7 miles. How many of you come in after a long day of work and physical exercise and would get up and walk the 7 miles? Aren't you glad we can text people? Thank you, Jesus. But they were so excited, they wouldn't keep it to themselves. So there's the next plus one activity, is share it with somebody. Your prayer partner or someone else, what has God done for you lately? Tell somebody, really important. They walked 14 miles that day, and they started the second half when it was already dark. It's not the safest time to be walking. And I'm sure they were looking for Jesus on the way, but he took the Star Trek mode. Beam me back to Jerusalem, Father. I got more business to do. That's what you get to do after the resurrection. I'm going to be traveling that way after the resurrection. No doubt about it. I'm going to use that mode. And I want to be here. I can go there. I'm just claiming that by faith, okay? Check it out afterwards. We'll see if it happens. But they had to walk back 7 miles, even at a exercise walk, like at a fast walk. You can't do more than 4 miles in an hour. And unless they're marathoners, because by the time they went back, they'd done it almost a half marathon that day. And so they took at least 2 hours, maybe longer, to get back. And when they got back, they found that their friends hadn't got to bed yet. And they're saying, Simon saw him, Simon saw him. And they're like, oh yeah, let me tell you. Guess what happened? I think Jesus really was taking joy. He saw Cleopas and his friend, and he said, these guys really care. They're not one of my inner circle, the 11, used to be 12, but these guys really care. Look, they're talking about it, they're interesting. I'm just going to go meet them and draw them into the inner circle. And they're going to experience the stuff that my disciples are experiencing, because I see their heart. I'm going to draw them closer. Jesus went out and got them and brought them in. And as they're talking and sharing, Jesus shows up. And they didn't say, hey, no fair, we had to walk. They're just glad to see him. Verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. I love that. That's the first thing that happens when the presence of God comes in your life. The first thing that happens is there's a peace invasion. Or at least it starts to leak in slowly. Peace starts to replace whatever it was that was going on there. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It's I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. I love the proofs of his resurrection that we see in the Word. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. By the way, did you see that? Law and prophets and the Psalms. The only time that's added when the law and prophets are referenced. As a little shout out from Jesus to David. This guy got it. He saw me. You guys should go read those Psalms too. So he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Here we go again. More revelation. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. He wanted to make sure Cleopas and unnamed friend were there on the day of Pentecost. He went out and got him, but only because when they heard him, they went that extra step. Okay, would you come in? We'll hear more. It's him. We know it. We can't just go to sleep now. We have to tell somebody. And in just going that little extra and being willing to share it, they get in on the greatest day in church history, the day of Pentecost. They got to be part of it, and see it, and experience it, and their lives were changed forever. Small steps lead to big change. Making room. It doesn't take a lot to start making more room for Jesus. We're going to watch the video clips now. If anybody's listening to this, we're going to start with the longer one, then the shorter one. And I'm going to set it up. I love this because, and what's the date again, Pastor Josh, that we're showing the whole thing in, Pastor Melody? April 19th. Okay, 7:30 here in this room. Okay, Friday night, April 19th, 7:30. You're all invited. It's the Jesus Revolution. And yeah, there you go. How about that? And I've referenced this a couple of times already, but the setting here, as we're going to see, is in the late 60s when the Vietnam War was in full swing and the anti-war protests were happening, and we had the death of Martin Luther King, of RFK, and had followed JFK being assassinated. So we had these political leaders in America being assassinated. There was, you know, the Beatles and others, Jimi Hendrix, the Rolling Stones, all of this new music was going so anti-establishment. There was this disconnect, the generation gap. It was a social revolution. Drugs that we'd never heard of were starting to flood the youth market. And I was part of that. I just was on the tail end of it, but I was always hanging around with people older than me. And I got into all that briefly. Jesus saved me out of that miraculously and wonderfully. But I remember those days. We thought we were cool. We thought we were smarter. And we were really upset with the way the world was going. But there was this group called hippies. And their whole thing was peace, love, groovy. Sit-ins became love-ins. Flower power. And it was kind of this kind of pacifistic approach to all of this. We're sick of the conflict. And but the hippies weren't trusted. They wouldn't wear shoes. They didn't take baths often. They had hair out to here. And so one pastor was challenged by his daughter to let a hippie into his church and see what would happen. So let's watch. This is from the movie, but these are true events. And let's watch and see what happened when this pastor decided to make room for this weirdo to come into his church. So what happened, and these clips show you a little bit, and you'll get the whole feel of it in the movie. They went back to the actual place that's called Pirate's Cove there in San Diego. And within a year, this Pastor Chuck and Lonnie were baptizing 200 people a week. 200 per week, some weeks 500, as they came in from all over the nation hearing that Jesus was still alive. It became a movement, came up to Toronto. There was two places in Toronto, Catacombs, this St. Paul's Church in the downtown, and there was another place at Islington Avenue between Finch and Albion at a Lutheran church. And hundreds were gathering there every weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday afternoon. And I got caught up in that. And, the rest is history, as they say. But I am so shaken to the core of my being when I look at the roots of that is you never know what God's going to do with your yes. You don't know where that's going to do. You never know when you invite someone in your house, like Cleopas did, where that's going to lead. You never know the big change that follows small steps. But making room, that church, the movie says it so well, is what happened was the deacons rose up, and I know this would never happen here. The deacons rose up and said, we can't have them in here because they're making the carpet dirty. So he says, you know, so the pastor, the next week, the pastor knelt at the door and washed everybody's feet on the way in. Yeah. It just, and that church had to grow, had to put out a tent structure, and became a whole movement. And the Chuck Smith became the spiritual father of an entire movement. And he only passed into the presence of the Lord a few years ago. But that ended up being a whole generation, because it started with a yes. It started with making room. And, you know, I want to challenge you over these next 50 days, and when visitors start coming in, these pews are pretty close together, front to, you know what I mean? Have you ever tried to get out, and when somebody's in the pew, either got to crawl over the front pew in front of you, or people have to get out to let you out. Why not, if you come here early, why not go to the middle? Why not make room for someone else? Don't sit at the end of the pew like, this is mine. You know? My name's here. Do you know some churches, they'd have that? People had their names on the pew. Yeah. Let's make room in physical ways. Let's find somebody's, who they are. Let's learn their name and say hi. So next week, they feel that's an even more friendly place than it was last week. Let's make room. Stand with me, please. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Maybe. I'm not telling you this is a prophetic word, but just maybe. Just maybe. We're on our way to Emmaus right now as a church. Yeah. Just maybe Jesus is already talking to some of us and wanting to see, are you willing to get deeper in the Word? Are you willing to pray? Just maybe we're in a time of testing to see how we'll respond. And if we respond well, He's going to blow our socks off. There's going to be blessings. There's going to be increase. You're going to see your family have greatest days ever. Amen. I'll tell you this. It ends with verse 49. This passage. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay until you've been clothed with power. So that's what this 50 days is about, because that was the beginning of their 50 days. They had to wait 50 days until that outpouring came. So why don't we stay together? Let's come together and let's see what God will do. I don't want to overpromise that May 26th is going to be some revival day, but let's at least give God a chance to do everything He wants to do. Because I know what He wants to do has the word more in it. I know that plus one minus one equals more, and I want more of Him. I don't want a plateau. I just don't want a plateau. I want to keep growing. Okay. I know it sounds silly, but I'm going to do it anyways. Turn to somebody and say, I don't want a plateau. I'm going to grow. Tell them that if you mean it.